SBS acknowledges the traditional custodians of country and their connections and continuous care for the skies, lands and waterways across Australia.
I was sweeping the floor for 5 years, doing jackhammering every day, 60 hours a week. And on Sunday, I was working at my boss's house. I worked 7 days a week for maybe 6 months here. And most of the construction bosses would start from scratch.
Welcome to Work in Progress, a podcast that follows the stories of adventurous professionals who decided to call Australia home, with helpful tips, advice from experts and Australian leading organisations on how to build your career here. I'm your host, Francesca Valdinoci, and today we talk about construction. Let's get to work.
Of the 1.4 million people working in the building and construction industry at the moment, around about 20% of those are migrants.
This is Danita Warne, the CEO of Master Builders Australia, the nation's peak association for the building and construction industry. She says skilled migrants are a vital part of the industry, but their numbers are declining at a time when the sector is facing a workforce shortage.
The labour shortage for the building and construction industry is quite severe, particularly in relation to trades, 40-odd trades that you need to build our buildings and our homes around the country. We're estimating that we need at least another 150,000-200,000 trades, qualified people over the next 5 years, and all up we need around about another 350,000-400,000 people over the next 5 years to build what is forecast to be built.
That means around 500,000 people must enter the industry by 2029. There's no shortage of opportunities for those willing to work and grow professionally.
Doesn't matter like where they start, if it's a one-day job or 1 week job, if they give themselves a good name and a good reputation, they're always going to get busy in Australia.
This is Jean Moreau. He was born in France and grew up in Normandy, dreaming of becoming a flight attendant so he could travel the world. To make that dream a reality, he needed to learn English. So in 2011, he decided to spend a few months in Sydney.
During those 3 months, I met so many people, you know, like in Australia, it's such a multicultural society. I met so many different nationalities. I fall in love with this country.
At 20, Jean never expected a short stay to turn into a lifetime or to take his career in a completely different direction. Today, at 34, he runs a construction company with around 50 employees and projects across New South Wales, the Australian Capital Territory, and Queensland.
I was sweeping the floor for 5 years, doing jackhammering every day, 60 hours a week. And on Sunday, I was working at my boss's house. I worked 7 days a week for maybe 6 months here. And most of the construction bosses would start from scratch.
After a four-month stay in rural Queensland, Jean hit the road with a van and made his way back to Sydney. Life in the city was tough at first. Jean had no formal qualifications or prior professional experience. He ended up working in a car wash, earning very little and getting paid per car he washed. But a chance encounter changed everything. He met a construction company owner, and 2 weeks later, he started working on site.
I had no idea about construction before. Completely new word for me. First of all, I wasn't speaking English at all. Like few words. They just make me sweep the floor and pick up the rubbish, do the jackhammer. But even if I wasn't speaking English, they were very, very, very friendly with me, always helping me out, try to understand me, teach me well. It was really welcoming.
To work on a construction site, you need some specific requirements that vary by state and territory, as Danita explains.
The strong encouragement to get a step in the door and get labouring work is to ensure that you've got your basic site requirements in all jurisdictions. You need what is known as a white card, which is a safety training. It's a day-long course. In some jurisdictions, you'll also need asbestos safety training and also silica training. They are all half-day, one-day courses that then enables you to be eligible to access labouring work. And that is always a good starting point for people to consider employment in the industry.
Depending on the trade, there are tailored courses designed to help people find work in the industry.
Many people are attracted to the construction industry because it is a high-paying role, and in some circumstances, you only need to undertake short courses to get work in the industry. So a really good example is traffic control. It's a week or two course to then enable you to get into a job, as opposed to, say, trades where it takes up to 4 years. There are some really good opportunities for people to look at those short courses to get a foot in the door of the industry and then work their way up if they wish to do so.
Jeanne says you don't necessarily need formal qualification to start working in the sector.
There's a lot of people who want to get into this industry with no qualification. And it's possible because I've done it. And today I'm hiring maybe 10% of my staff with no qualification. But it doesn't matter as long as you're willing to work. If you're a hard worker, I reckon you can make a difference, even if you don't have qualification.
Besides training, some trades require licenses obtained through relevant local authorities. Construct Your Career is a free guide featuring profiles of all jobs in the industry, the qualifications required, and average wages. It is available on the Master Builders Australia website. Denira also suggests looking into trade-specific organisation for additional guidance. Tony Bishop is the National General Manager of Brick and Block Career, an organization offering free advice on how to engage with the industry and build a career in bricklaying. He notes that the type of visa you hold can affect the pathways available, but ultimately it depends on your professional goals.
There's always going to be more opportunities in the city because 80% of Australians live 50 kilometres of the water. So there isn't that much infrastructure once you start moving inland to regional. However, in saying that, there is a lot of tree change people that now are saying we're going to move out there and live for the better lifestyle, you know, cleaner air, not as busy, etc., etc.
For Jeanne, moving around Australia to chase work opportunities has helped accelerate careers.
In Australia, I think the good tips is if you're not attached to any big city, if you're willing to go in a small town or getting developed, there's a lot of work out there. For someone who just start fresh, I recommend them to start to work for somebody. And then after, when you hear something in the industry where there's maybe a better money somewhere, to grab the chance and to go.
Tony emphasizes that there are many pathways possible for a career in construction.
It's what you want out of it too. Like, you can easily go and work in a gang, learn your trade or learn some skills and make some good money as what we call a trowel hand, which is a non-formal qualification, but you work and you lay bricks and blocks every day and you get paid accordingly. Or you can go down RPL, look at some of the other courses that can be on offer. From time to time, there are improver courses, which you might be able to jump into and just pick up the skills as you go.
After 1 year working with his first employer, Jeanne began working in formwork. The molds used to shape concrete into structural elements like beams, columns, slabs, and shells for building.
It was a massive company from Sydney. They gave me a chance, you know, like to work for them. Normally, you need to be qualified to join that type of industry. And I arrived on the first day, I didn't even have tool belt, hammer, nothing. I don't know, I always want to try to do my best, and I work hard, I work very, very hard, yeah. He always came on my favor.
Following 5 years with the same employer, Jeanne's hard work was recognized, and he was encouraged to open his own business.
The big boss of the company, because they called me franchise, told me, franchise, why don't you open your own, you know? And I was thinking it's going to be super hard and very, very difficult. In one day, I opened my company. I went to see our accountant. I had my workers' compensation, public liability insurance. In one day, everything was ready to go.
Graciette Ferreira is the managing director of ACT Pacific Formwork, a family-owned business with 27 years of experience and a team of around 100 employees. The company mostly employs workers born overseas and sometimes sponsor them too.
We know that most of these people have made a sacrifice to change countries, so they will be good workers because they will want to make something out of their life. And we're here to hopefully provide that for them and assist them in being very successful.
Graciette began her construction career nearly 40 years ago as a migrant from Portugal. It was a real shock being one of the very few women in the industry. Today, she encourages migrants to familiarize themselves with the rules and regulations, especially regarding safety.
Australia is a lot more safety conscious than a lot of other places in the world. We have very rigorous site safety controls, and we demand that everyone follow our rules when it comes to safety. And getting them to understand that they're responsible as well for their safety and other people's safety, and that they have to abide by those rules, that they have to wear the appropriate safety equipment.
English language skills are very important for safety and career growth in construction, says Jean.
The main thing is to speak English, because if you want to keep carry on in this industry, you need to speak English. If you need to step up one day in this industry, it's a very dangerous industry as well. You work around crane and machinery. If something happens, someone tell you, watch out, be careful, move away. You don't understand English, you're going to hurt yourself very bad, or you're going to die.
Graciette believes anyone who can hold a hammer can find work. But in such a diverse industry, it's important to understand expectations for each role.
You can just contact different businesses, Google up businesses in construction. Obviously, in Australia, it's very specific. If you do formwork, you only do formwork. We don't do steel fixing. If you're a steel fixing company, you generally just do steel fixing and post-tensioning kind of thing. So see what part of the industry you want to work in and then apply for those jobs.
With many professional profiles available, Danita notes that some trades are in higher demand and might offer better job opportunities.
At the moment, it's in relation to the key trades in terms of carpentry, plumbers, electricians, tilers, formworkers, bricklayers. They're probably our key ones. If you don't have enough people in those trades, then we're having delays in construction, which are increasing costs of construction around the country.
But how do you find your way? Danita says it's about investing time, effort and money into training and upskilling when necessary.
The question really is finding which one is suitable and what gap training may be required. And I think that's the most difficult thing for migrants coming to Australia, that it's finding the money and the time to undertake those gap training to ensure that they're meeting Australian standards.
Tony says specific tasks required for each trade must be considered before deciding which one to pursue.
Do your research and make sure is that what you want to do. If working outdoors in the sun and lugging 17 kilo or 14 kilo blocks around is not for you, then maybe not the bricklaying is your choice. From there, decide what is it you want to do. Are you happy to come over here and just find your way in the industry, or looking for a more structured pathway?
For Tony, migrants today play a similar role in their generation as those who paved the way before them.
Australia, construction industry has been built on immigration. You know, the amount of Italians and Greek people that have gone on to build half of Australia and from many other countries all have come here as either skilled or semi-skilled and found their way and worked their way around.
Jean employs workers of diverse backgrounds, including Australians, Pacific Islanders, Europeans and South Americans.
I really, really love it because everybody got a background here, got a history.
Jeanne believes it all comes down to working hard if you want to make it in the building and construction industry.
For me, with my job, it's really motivation because I've been there, so I give my chance to anyone. But they just need to work, that's all. Here we do 60 hours a week. So it's not for everybody as well, you know, to come to Australia. People, they say, oh, we make so much money here, but we're working a lot of long hours and we're working hard too.
But as Jeanne's journey proves, while you can start without qualification, training is crucial for progressing in the sector.
I've done a lot of like courses called like tickets in Australia. I'm specialized now in safety screens, so I just do a little bit of formwork. I'm more specialized into scaffolding safety screens. So we do a lot of work with cranes, and most of us need to have those qualifications to be able to touch the hook of the crane. If you want to grow into construction, if you want to grow into the industry, if you want to one day work for yourself, 100% you need to invest in yourself.
This is an SBS audio podcast. In Work in Progress, we dive into careers across nursing, early childhood education, engineering, ICT, construction, and aged care, unpacking the journeys, challenges, and rewards along the way. Work in Progress is created and hosted by me, Francesca Valdinoci. Sound design is by Maram Ismail and the managing editor is Rosa Gemien. For more helpful tips on settling into your new life in Australia, don't forget to visit Australia Explained. Thanks for listening and stay tuned for more.